although I am up here speaking. But the reason I'm excited is because the Holy Spirit has just been doing a work and a move that is important. And it's important because it literally is painting a picture of life. It paints a picture that that you will find incredibly valuable. I hope it changes your life forever. I hope it changes everything that you're about. Pictures for us are rampant. We have pictures for everything in our heart. If I mentioned success, you have a picture there. If I mentioned family, you have a picture what that looks like, good or bad. You have a picture for retirement. You know, this what's going to make me happy. We have a picture there. Whatever it is, there's a picture there. But what I'd like to offer is a rampant change in that picture. We have shifts in our life. When you come to Jesus, there's a shift. You have a shift. I mean, you're all of a sudden this new creation, and you got to deal with that. You got to understand what that means. I had a shift in my Christian life quite a while ago. Actually, 2004. I was just reminded because I was mentioned this in the first place. But the shift for me was this new way to listen to the Lord speaking to my life. And that speaking to my life had to do with journaling. How the Holy Spirit would speak into my life that way. The guy that actually we started with is here tonight. Good friend, Greg Coffer. We've been friends for a long time. I'll never forget the conversation. He goes, "Hey, you heard about this stuff coming out of New Hope, New Hope, right? Out of Hawaii, Wayne Curtis, what he's doing?" "No. Well, you got to look at this online. You want me to order you one?" "Yeah." We're stoked. 2004. I looked it up. It was, you know, got the journal still there. Then he does the crazy thing, and he invites me to this thing doing church as a team. I go, "What are we going to go to that for? We're not even staff." "I don't know. I think we're supposed to." We were. I'll never forget that shift. I was like yesterday. Never forget the shift of the 127 people that we got to sit there and learn how to journal with Wayne Cadero. We both said, "It's for this purpose we're here." That shift was this way to have the voice of the Holy Spirit speak into us. Changed our lives. Changed Greg's life. Changed my life. Look at us, what we were there then. Well, guess what? Why am I so excited about tonight? Because I have seen this other shift. This other thing that I'm going, man, I got to get a hold of this. This is new stuff. New for me. Not new to Jesus. Not new at all. So as we enter in, I'd like to pray for us as we gather together, really to open up our hearts to receive all that we have that the Holy Spirit has for us tonight. So if you could bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we enter your throne room. We sang how mighty and great a God you are, God Almighty. But yet we get to come before your throne room. We get to come there because you've given us that access through your Son, by his blood. We get to have that remembrance later on in the service, that covenant betrothal as we are awaiting your return. That marriage that we get to enter into. Lord, we ask tonight that you would bring us a message to our hearts. And that message is how important your word is to our hearts. Lord, we ask that you would deposit that with an encounter that will change our lives forever. And we ask that in your holy, precious name. Amen. So, like I said, we have lots of pictures in our hearts and in our time. One of the things that we're going to talk about tonight is life. We have choices. We have real choices. And those choices are choose a prosperous life of purpose and success. It's a choice. And you've got to be determined about that choice. You've got to make diligent efforts in this area. We're going to read together. First off, we're going to go through something before I read the scripture. The world says this. The world paints this picture. Top 10 things people want in their life but can't seem to get. I only listed 5. And I left out the rhetoric in between. I just left the bullet points. Happiness. Number one is happiness. Biggest challenge? I don't know what I want to do. Don't know what I want to do. Happiness exists for them in that area. Number two is money. Biggest challenge? Not having enough money or time to accomplish the things I want to do. That is a definition of, you know, again, this is online. I just copied and pasted it and brought it to you. Number three, I want freedom. Biggest challenge? Having the freedom to find my true purpose or being lit up by the day-to-day work. Number four is peace. I want peace in my life. Biggest challenge? Lack of clarity about who I am and my purpose. And the fifth one, joy. Biggest challenge? How to find the right role or position for me now that will bring joy in my work. So we get to hover in John 15, and it's up on the screen there. You don't need to pull up your Bibles unless you have the New King James. We're only using the New King James here so that we can say it and read it together. A lot of translations out there are great. We're just using this so that we can stay on the same page. So if you would say this with me. Okay, let's get this right the first time. The first service kind of screwed it up. We had to start over. So, all together now? I am the truth. Oh, come on, we can do better than this. Come on, let's get it on. Okay, come on. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But for I have things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. these things I command you, that you love one another. Isn't that amazing? Now, here's what I want you to do. Understand one thing. I want you to read this because this isn't something I'm making up. This isn't Ken. But this is Jesus' words. Jesus doesn't say anything without the Father telling him what to say. So you've got these words up here, and he's speaking life into you. He's painting a picture for you what life is really about. Here's what I want you to do, though. He's talking about the vine. So I want you to all close your eyes. No peeking. You don't care what I have on, my dress, anything. But here's what I want you to see. You're standing on a hill, and down below it is the most beautiful vineyard you've ever seen. It has rows and rows and rows of vines. Those vines are so perfectly manicured that the sunlight casts through the grapes and the leaves so that it perfectly reaches every grape, and it glistens in the sun. It glistens so vibrantly that you notice, I go, oh, how beautiful it is. You notice that the vines go forever. They are intertwined. The branches are intertwined as you look at them. As you look at them, you see that they're meticulously put so that they bear the most fruit. You look up the hill that you see the original vine. Its stalk is so thick and mature that it absolutely has the strength to put out good sap to all the other vines that it's connected to. You look over this field and it goes on forever. The vine is dependent each on the other. You can look up now. Think about that. We all need each other. We need each other more than we can even possibly know. We need each other. We need each other in what we're going to get into now. The perfect thing is Jesus is giving us this gift, and it's life. So let's get after it. All have an interconnected purpose to bear fruit. We have a purpose. So the purpose is one thing. We're to bear fruit. We're to see in each other to bear fruit. I want to hang out with Greg because I want to make sure that Greg knows how to bear fruit. I want to hang out with Rich because I want to make sure that he's got everything he needs to bear fruit. I want to hang out with John. I want to make sure that John's got all the stuff that he needs to make sure that he's bearing fruit. Sorry, not picking in anybody over here. I should. Dan, I want to hang out with Dan because I want to make sure that everything that he's got is what he needs to connect. Now, I'm mentioning guys because I'm in men's ministry. But ladies and my wife, I want to make sure that she's bathed in word to be able to do the things that will make her prosper. Here it is. I am the true vine. The Father is the vine dresser. Now think about this. The Father, God the Father. We just prayed. We exalted God the Father, Almighty, the great I am. Notice in the first words there, I am the true vine. Jesus is saying, I am the great I am. And then, my Father is a vine dresser. God the Father works. He works. What is he working at? He's working at being able to take that vine, intertwine it to make sure that it is pursued so that it can bear fruit. He is looking at you as a branch, and he's saying, wow, I think this, he needs to be able to wrap around this other person over here because he's going to bear more fruit over here. I want him to have a her to have a certain part in the sun. I am going to make sure that he goes down that way. Or she goes down that way. God works. He pursues the exact plan for our life. God rested on the Sabbath after creation for a reason, because he needed a Sabbath. He's working 6 days. We have this picture in our mind that he just kind of sits up there and, you know, I guess does nothing. That's wrong. I mean, it's wrong. He is intimately pursuing every aspect of the brokenness in your life. I know that because he pursues me. He pursues me. Still. Amen. I get to do more fruit. But the picture that we have, we got to change that picture. And there's a way that we can change that. We're getting to it. One of the things he says, and I think it's a little bit misunderstood here, I'm going to help clarify it. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, it says he takes it away. You got to understand it takes away means really to lift it up. So he's literally, understand, God's lifting it up off the ground. Can't bear fruit on the ground. Get moldy down there. The leaves get, I grew up on a farm. I know this. The leaves can't do anything. It'll die. He lifts it up because it's not bearing fruit. He wants to lift it up so that it's intertwined with you. The vine needs you. He needs each other. We need each other to be able to bear fruit. I love that picture about the Father, that he loves us so much that he tenderly takes care of that branch. If you know anything about vineyards, those are tender things. You can't just move them around. They crack, they break. And the vines, the grapes, they can't be bruised. Look at the tenderness that the God the Father has. It's almost a little bit, I think God is a God of humor. It's almost a little, He's got to be laughing a little bit that he thinks that we see him not doing very much. Because he goes, well, if they only knew. I'm a little tired. I need a Sabbath. We need to change our picture. And the reason we need to change our picture is what I'm getting to. We're dependent on each other. The water, where it talks about it being clean, the water bathes us. It cleanses us. It makes us clean. We need the word to do that. The best part is, and we get to celebrate this later, but we're all connected by Jesus' blood that flows through every one of our veins, but it flows differently. Here's the picture I'm trying to paint. It flows through you three sitting right there. See, because it flows through you three because you're dependent on each other. But you walk in the new covenant. Woo! Okay, next one is freedom to produce abundant fruit. Now we think about abundant fruit, but let's understand how I'm referring to this. And he goes, "He who abides in me and I in him," this is on 5, "bears much fruit. For me, without me, you can do nothing." The freedom in this is that you get to bear as much fruit as you want. Let's talk about freedom a little bit, because freedom is defined by its boundaries. In our family, and I believe in that, you have freedom because you get to move in those boundaries. We had a saying in our family that nothing good ever happened after 11 o'clock for our kids. Okay? Nothing good. So here's the beauty of that. You can talk to my oldest boy. 2 times he got out of bad situations, came home. I got to go home because, you know, my folks need me home. He wanted to get out of that, but he had an excuse. It wasn't the I got a curfew. No, nothing good ever happens after 11 o'clock. When he was 16, nothing good ever happens after 12 o'clock. Gave him a little latitude. 1 time, Matt, my oldest, same as the young man I met over there, Matt. Matt calls me at 2, oh, excuse me, not home at 2:30, he calls me, and I finally get a hold of him. I say, Matt, bro, what are you doing? I'm concerned. Well, he just got home from a retreat. The center of the retreat was No Compromise. Bunch of them, about 8 of them, were together. They had been absolutely encountered with the Holy Spirit, changed their lives forever. They were praying and prayed for about 2.5 hours. I couldn't be prouder of it. I said, that's great, man. I couldn't be more happy as a father. You still need to get home. And I go, and then the next morning I had a really nice conversation. I go, Matt, man, I couldn't be any more proud of you as a father. I am really, what else could a father want? You're still grounded. I know, I got the same look in the first service. You know, but the thing is, he took that gladly. He took that on gladly. Understand the boundaries. This idea that we can just do anything we want, that's not freedom. Jesus paints what freedom is. If you can do nothing without me, if anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out. Well, don't do that. Abide in him. That's freedom. I'm giving you a choice. You've got to choose right. But the abundance is amazing. I'm going to leave you with this, and then I'm going to remind you later on. And it has to do with you making sure that you have that kind of abiding in him. It's Mark 4, 13 to 20. But we'll cover that at the end. I just want to make sure that you're reminded of it. But in the next slide, we have a picture of abundant fruit. Their picture, this is by the way, he's in his service, so I give this to Jeff Arnold because he's the one who showed this to me. He's quite a guy. Look at their picture of abundant fruit. And how does that compare with your picture of abundant fruit? Come on. We serve a God. We serve a Jesus that not only created principalities and powers, but later on defeated them and has authority over them. We pray small prayers. Pam said that I would discuss corporate prayer. Man, you know, this last time we had, it was awesome. We had about 25, 30 people. It was good. I wanted 125. Why? Because we get to contend and ask for fruit like that. We do it together. Why? We need each other. As you're sitting together, we need each other to contend, agree. We are asking you to help each other bear fruit. No matter how messed up things are, or no matter how good things are, because we're thinking in little grapes like this. You need to think in grapes like that. Then in the next slide too, look at the thickness of the stalk of that. Later on, I'm going to give you a word, but we're asked to be strong. I want that. I mean, I want that kind of vine. I want to hang out with those kind of people. And I want to encourage people to be that kind of stalk. I want that. I want that faith. I want to have that kind of life. So next, biting in the vine will change your desires. This is so good. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now we're kind of getting to the heart of it. My words abide in you. You will ask what you desire. Talk about success. Talk about a different picture. If you abide in me, you will ask what you desire. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. Your motivation is different. I guess the thing that I would want at the end of my life, which is year 121, I'm going to live till 120. Carlos says he's going to live till 120. I'm going to live 1 year past that. So at 121, I hope that my Father says, that I'm a God-fearing man. I'm a man after his own heart. I want that. But I want it in such an abundant life that I'm hanging out with David and he sees the fruit that we just saw because that's how he thinks. That's the picture he has. Different picture. So you will be my disciples. Being a disciple, we get this, bear your cross and follow me. We kind of think in the negatives. I go, man, I'll do that. Why? Because I know that he's a God the Father that isn't going to sit there and give me a cross that is just going to just beat me up. He's going to tenderly take me to an area that I will bear fruit. It will make us pray differently. It will make us serve differently. I want you to not turn to, but I want you to listen to these words in Proverbs 4:20-23. And Jeff, no, I'm not going to do this. Jeff Arnold, I'm not going to do this by memory. I'm going to read it from the text. I know. I'm sorry, man. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. Again, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Talk about life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and perverse lips be far from you. You get it mixed up in perverse lips and bad stuff and all that kind of stuff, walk away from it. We've had a lot of that this last week. Just from everything. It's walk away from it. Protect your heart. Why? Because anger will steal the word out of your heart. That's the Mark 4 reference that I referred to. It's going to steal it right out. So don't go there. You know, don't say anything on Facebook, I guess. Just don't. Walk away from it. Why? Because you got an important investment in you. You got the word sitting in your heart. You've invested in it. A new life. God's words will change the eyes that you see everything. Then the next one. If you keep my commandments, or true joy, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. These things I've spoken to you, my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I loved you. Abiding in the word brings pure joy. I mean, what does pure joy look like? I've thought about having everybody stand up and do this. I didn't do this in the first service because it would have been a disaster. But there's a picture of joy because of the Greek word. And the Greek word describes it as one spinning, you know, dancing. Did that work? I was waiting for that. See, now wait a minute. Okay, it worked. Imagine what you just did. Don't you? Imagine what you just did. You can't help but laugh. You can't help but have joy. It is an accurate picture. Pure joy is that kind that you would spin. That's the description. Abide in my word and you bring that joy. But more importantly, abiding in love. Imagine us as vines all intertwined. We're abiding in his word. We're connected by love. God. Does that expand the love you have for each other? Somebody's not doing well. They hurt me as well as them because we're connected. You know, somebody's struggling with their walk. You know, they're not very good at it. We're connected. And the last one is a life worth dying for. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. He's called us friends, but the best part is he chose us. Man, I was that kid when I was growing up. I was the last one chosen, a little scrawny guy. You know, all of about maybe 6 foot when I was in eighth grade, and all of maybe 99 pounds. It was not a good thing. So in any sport, you know, I didn't care about basketball. I couldn't even, you know, I couldn't do anything with it. Yeah, pick class. He chooses us. He chose us. Why? Because he wants us to abide in the vine, the picture. He wants us to produce the fruit. I ask you to choose the picture that you have in your life. And I save this for the last because, again, that picture can be, that picture you can choose. That picture you can choose to change. And Joshua had it right. Joshua had it right because the Lord painted a picture for him. This book of the law you shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. That word, be strong, is a really, really, I thought it was a great Hebrew word. Because be strong is said, it's spelled C-H-A-Z-A-G, Kazak. I love that word, Kazak. I'd walk up to Mike and I'd go, Kazak. Be strong. Be encouraged. It's not the strong this way. It's be strong. We're in the vine. Kazakh. Say that to all your neighbors here. Loud. Oh, come on. We can do better than that. There you go. Kazakh. So when you walk in here, maybe next Sunday, you walk up to Carlos and he goes, Kazakh, brother. He didn't know what's going on. How powerful is that, though? When you walk up to somebody like God did to Joshua, Kazakh, be strong. Be of good courage. We're holding each other together. Be of good courage. We can do this. We can get together, all 125 of us, on corporate prayer night, and Kazakh. We can contend. More. We have seen mountains move already. We've already seen it. We just want more. See, we just want more. So the last thing I want you to do is homework. There's four passages up there. Please make sure. And this is the choice you have. You have choices here. You want life? You want prosperous life? This isn't legal. This isn't legalistic stuff. This is God the Father is telling me. I'm not telling you this. God is saying, meditate on this. I just gave you four. There is a whole wealth of words there. The little girl, your little girl's name right next to you? Huh? Hayden. Hayden, you know, it was so cool for little Jewish boys and girls. Because they got to do, before that, I think they were 9 years old, they memorized the first five books of the Bible, every one of them. Every word. So, it's for you too. You want to be a strong, powerful young woman? You get to do that. So now I'm going to turn it over to even a better part. And I'm only 5 minutes over.